Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man, who is not a shepherd, and whose sheep are not his own, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down, and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father.
The Gospel of the Lord.
And the literature that we have from St. John, and especially in his Gospel, there is this sort of radiating or processional theology that he portrays to us again and again. And what I mean by that is we see Jesus again and again, especially in the Gospel of John, and then St. John will work out how it works out from our Lord, from Jesus, from there. But again and again, and we see Jesus refer to this at the end of this particular passage from St. John, that he comes from the Father. He does not come to do his own will. He is not marked by his own desire to ultimately do what he has come to do. But instead, he comes from the Father. The Father sent me because he lays down his life so that he may take it up again. And he has power because he comes from the Father. And then we will see Jesus in later chapters, in particular chapters 15 and 16 of St. John's Gospel, that he will then appoint his 12 apostles to go and bear fruit. He will choose them for himself. Jesus comes to do what was his Father, and then he tells the disciples that if you love me, you will do what I command you. And so we see this sort of radiating out. Starts with the Father, who sends a Son, and then the Son chooses a few to himself, who then he sends to go out and proclaim the good news, to transform the world. And why this is so important is because I think whenever we look, in particular at the priesthood, as this is Good Shepherd Sunday, in a particular way dedicated to how we see our Lord, but also in particular to the vocation of the priesthood, that too is an important lesson for all of us to come to a knowledge of. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I, as a priest, I am not the good shepherd. That is the Lord's task. He is the good shepherd. I think too often when we look at the priesthood, it tends to say, this particular set of things makes a good priest. But the fact of the matter is, no matter who the priest is, whoever he may be, he has been chosen by the Lord, as the Lord chose his own disciples at the Last Supper. He chose them. He appoints them. And we can kind of see in his choices that it's rather odd. Because we know that Judas himself was at the Last Supper where Jesus ordains his first priest. And Judas is the one who betrays him. Peter, first among the apostles, denies him three times. Only St. John is at his cross, that is in his greatest moment of suffering, present. All the other disciples are scattered. And so I think where we look at this is, why do I mention this? Because none of us lives out our vocations perfectly. Certainly the case for me, it's the case for each and every priest. But then it also, we want to go with the radiating idea, the idea of processional theology. It's also true for each and every one of you too. We are told that God chose us, he chose you before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. He chose you. He chose me. He chooses each and every one of us. And as a priest recently reminded me, an older priest, lamenting, you know, because as priests can do, he's saying it to a couple of us, so we're lamenting our particular lots. He said, you know, and we weren't like lamenting like how difficult, but instead our own insufficiencies. Not good at this, I can't handle that. He said, but the thing is the Lord chose you. And when he chose you, he knew all your particular shortcomings. He knew all the different ways in which you had shortcomings. You were sinful. And yet he chose you. And the same can be said for each and every one of us. Because if the Father chooses Christ, Christ chooses his apostles, and then from thenceforth, his bishops and priests. And then from there, he then, through priests and bishops, then elects his own through baptism. That's the beauty of adoption. That is the beauty of being children of God. It is adoption. And adoption means chosen, set aside. He chose us. And this is so important for us to always remember. And it's also important to remember in your priest. Whoever he is, he was chosen. He was chosen for his vocation, with all of his shortcomings, with all of his flaws. And I think that this is the case, too, in marriage. I'm sure anybody who's married out there has experienced that. That you fall short of your vocation. That you fall short of your call. And also, if you're being honest, your spouse probably does as well. But yet, God has set them aside. Even though, as Stanley Hauer was, one of the great Protestant theologians of our day, who has a lot of Catholic leanings, he always likes to use some tongue-in-cheek to really provoke people. He says, all of us probably marry the wrong person. Now, what he means by that is not that you literally marry the wrong person. But what he was trying to get at is that each and every one of us falls short of our call. So in a sense, if you're looking for your spouse, your husband, your wife, to be perfect, if you're looking for them to complete you, it does not exist. It's not going to happen. Only the Lord can do that. Only the Lord can bring that to completion. Even for priests. If I make my priesthood about me and my particular sets of gifts or lack thereof, I miss the point. If a priest makes his priesthood about himself, woe to him. Woe to him. Because this is surely the road to perdition. Because again, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He is. And unless a priest ever forget that, if he forgets that, he then puts it upon himself, makes it his task to sanctify the world. But it is ultimately in becoming a friend of the bridegroom and allowing Christ to work through us that ultimately the gospel is brought to the entire world. Because as you look at the Acts of the Apostles, which you just read, and you hear about the cripple being healed, it's because the apostles do as Jesus did. It's because he acts on their behalf. And then in the same way, radiating out for there, the apostles then call the early church, the early Christians, those who were baptized on that Pentecost day, 3,000 in number, and beyond, to all the corners of the ancient world. He chose them, calls them to then also act as Christ in the world, to be another Christ. That is what Christian means. It is said that in Antioch, it is the first time they are called Christians. And what the heck does that mean? It means little Christ. It was a mockery thrown at them by the pagans. Oh, look at you all. You think you're little Christ. And the Christians, instead of being insulted, were like, yeah, actually, that's what we're going for. And so it stuck. This is so fundamentally important for us, even as we encourage vocations. As we encourage vocations, we need to recognize that it is ultimately asking the harvest master. Because God has not stopped calling men to the priesthood. That isn't the issue. The issue is us. It is our hearts. We have allowed within our church to develop a contraceptive mentality. A mentality that God's gifts can be too much for us. To not be open to what God desires from us. To not allow him to work. He chose us. And whatever we're tasked with in life, which may seem too much for us, he ultimately provides the grace necessary to carry it. Whatever our particular vocations may be. And that's what I think we should encourage our young men to consider the priesthood, young women to consider the possibility of religious life. Because God is ultimately the one that we are called to allow to carry the burden, to choose us, to empower us to witness to his gospel. So prayerfully, pray for vocations, but then also prayerfully discern about the young men you may be called to ask in your own life. Don't ask just every young man, because then they're just going to roll their eyes and be like, that person just always says that. Pray about it. Encourage them. Encourage them to pray about the possibility. Because I think that there are so many more young men being called to the priesthood. But because of the lack of generosity of priests, myself included, lack of generosity in all of our hearts, men do not feel enabled to respond to that call. It is only in giving that we then can receive the gift of the priesthood. Parents, mothers, fathers, you need to be okay with your own sons being called to the priesthood, with your daughters being called to the religious life. If we are not open to that, then we're merely making a wish. Oh, I hope somebody else's children accept that burden. But it starts with you. It starts in your home. It starts within your hearts. By opening the hearts of your sons, your daughters, grandchildren, your neighbors to that possibility. We need to open our hearts to him because he chose us. We so often cling to our own thing, because unless I have this, unless it's exactly this way, I cannot be happy. But that is a lie, and the most sinister one of all, because it's the root of all sin. I can do it. You cannot. Only Christ can do that. Only Jesus, who laid down his life for us, for you, for me, for his sheep, can transform us in such a way. There is no other name under heaven by which we are to be saved, save this name of Christ. We are not our own saviors, but instead we entrust ourselves to our Heavenly Father, who sent his Son, and then sent his apostles, the first priest, to ultimately go proclaim the good news, that all who are baptized into him, confirmed by the Holy Spirit, might bear witness to the gospel in all that they say, they do, and are.